Aleluya. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the first book of Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, that's in the Old Testament. It's in the about a third of the way through. One Chronicles chapter 4. While you're turning it up, just pray and ask the Lord to bless His word to us today and minister to us. Father, we just thank You and praise You for this opportunity we have just to come together, Lord, to gather around Your word. Father, just pray, Lord, this morning that the words that, Lord, You've given me to speak, Father, Lord, that they will be, Lord, declared, Lord, Lord, to the best of my ability, Father. Lord, that You'll just take my words, Lord, and, Lord, and make them. Lord, take them, Lord, and use them, Lord, to feed and, Lord, build up, Lord, Your body. Father, just pray, Lord, for the anointing of God to fall, Lord, upon, Lord, Your precious word. Lord, just do as You promised today, Father. We know You will do. Lord, that every word, Lord, will not return to You void. But Lord, it will accomplish its purpose. Lord, it will prosper for, Lord, in the thing for which it was sent. Oh, and Father, we just give You praise and we give You glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we often use, particularly as, I think, as the, not just the people of God, but you'll hear some non-Christians use the terminology, you know, bless you or bless me. And we use these words and we use the word blessing sometimes so loosely in our everyday talk. You know, if you ever... Well, I'll say if you ever, I don't always use it, but generally, if you ever get an email from me or anything like that, you'll find I nearly always sign them off, blessings. The way I've always signed off my emails, or if I get letters, or write letters, I always finish it, you know, God bless you, or blessings to you, or blessings on you, or blessings on you both, depending on whom I'm writing to. You know, we use that terminology so frequently. You know, when people sneeze, we say, bless you. If we make a mistake, we say, bless me. You know, I want just to go through, just run through this morning, a couple of definitions from some of the well-known Bible, I just don't know what you call them, lexicographers, whatever they're called, lexicographers. And these teachers of the scriptures, and they give definitions in their writings to what this word bless means. One of these great men is a man called Herman Creamer, and he defines blessing or bless as to be happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward condition. So he says blessing is happiness, or to be happy with life, joy, and satisfaction. You're enjoying God's favor and salvation, regardless of our outward condition. Now another one, another great Greek scholar named Kenneth Roost, he says it's this: it's an empowerment to prosper. Blessing is an empowerment to prosper. Or, in other words, to cause to prosper. Another Greek scholar, Joseph Thayer, says this: it's to be favored of God. Blessing is to be favored of God. One more just for now, a man called Alexander Souter. He says it is, blessing is to be envied. You know what it's like when someone's, they've got something that somebody else wants? You know, they say, oh, I envy you. You know, the blessing is to be envied. Not just with material things, but with the blessing of God upon us. Well, I want to read this morning from 1 Chronicles chapter 4 about a man who was far from being called blessed. And we read of his, we don't read much about him in the scriptures, but we find him, he pops up here in 1 Chronicles 4. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. That's all we're going to read from this chapter. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. It says here in Scripture, it says, now Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. This man's name literally means to cause pain, to cause sorrow. You know, because his mother suffered great pain, perhaps to have him, in bearing him. Maybe there was a lot of pain in her pregnancy. Maybe she wasn't without sorrow. Maybe it was an issue even conceiving him. But he caused his mother great pain, great sorrow. And therefore she named him that, one who causes pain. You know as well as I do that names in the Old Testament, particularly, and even somewhat today, perhaps not so much at the moment, because people seem to name their children anything. I think that sometimes I think they just pluck a word out of the dictionary and that can be its name. But names meant a lot to the people that bore them. You know, as you go through and you look at the lives of the people in the scriptures, you'll find that very often they lived up to their name. Think of the great in the scriptures, Jacob. You know, his name was called Jacob because he was a deceiver. Or that's what his name meant, to deceive. And you know the story of Jacob, how he deceived his brother, he deceived his father. You know, he deceived his father-in-law. You know, he was a deceiver. But God changed his name to Israel. And Jabez certainly, I'm sure, lived up to his name in his younger years, perhaps causing his mother a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. But there came a day in Jabez's life, and we read this in verse 10, it says here, that he called on the God of Israel. And he made this prayer to God, and it's a very short prayer, only one verse long, and it says, and this is his prayer, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. What I want us to do this morning is just to break down that prayer that Jabez prayed. Because every part of his prayer, he prays that he might not cause pain. He says, God, he says, I want you to bless me indeed that I might not cause pain. I want to be a blessing, not a pain. I don't want to cause sorrow. I don't want to cause hurt. I want to be a blessing. And then he says, I want you to enlarge my territory so that I don't cause pain. I want your hand to be with me so that I don't cause pain. I want you to keep me from evil so that I don't cause pain. And because that was his prayer, God granted him what he asked. Let's, for a few moments this morning, just take this prayer, just have a look at it. Jabez called on the God of Israel and said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. That you would bless me indeed." You know, this word bless is, we've already looked at some of the scholars' definitions of them. But this word blessed is a word which is translated. Now you'll know the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And comes from the language of the Chaldees and a mixture of those three things there. But in the Greek, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it uses the Greek word here, which means to speak well of. So there, Jabez is asking God, he says, "I want you to speak well of me." Also means to praise or to celebrate with praises. You know, we get that where we say we're going to bless God, we're going to praise him, we're going to celebrate him with praises. It means to invoke a blessing upon a person by speaking. And we're seeing in the scriptures, in particularly in Numbers, that God told the priests to invoke that blessing upon them, his people, by speaking his name. "I want you to put my name upon them," God says, "and thus you shall bless them." And God goes on to say that he will bless those that we bless. So it's to invoke a blessing upon a person. The word also means to consecrate with solemn prayers or asking God's blessing. You know, we ask God to bless something. You know, like we came together this morning, we asked God's blessing upon our service together. We asked God's blessing. We came, we consecrated ourselves before him. And then the final definition of that word is to cause to prosper, to make happy, and to bestow blessings. "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." This is an empowerment to prosper. Not just, we always think of money when we think of prosperity. But this is a total life prosperity. This is spiritual prosperity. You know, the Bible says, John writes it, he says, "Beloved, I would that you would prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers." You know, there is a place for soul prosperity, spiritual prosperity. Then it's physical prosperity as well. You know, that you're prosperous in your health. And this has already been touched on this morning. And God wants us to prosper in our health, in our bodies. Yes, it includes material prosperity, that God wants to bless us so that we've got enough to meet our needs and to be a blessing to others. You know, that's what prosperity, it's not about just having money to meet your needs. Now, a lot of people think that's what it is. "Oh, God just bless me so I can meet my needs." You know, if you look through and you do a study of it, you'll see that that type of prayer, where you just pray and ask God to bless you so you can meet your needs, you can pay your bills, is a total selfish prayer. Because prosperity should be that we've got enough to meet our needs, and more than enough so that we can give it away, and we can be a blessing to other people. That's why, people, I read people don't go and they don't evangelize, they don't go out on trips. And you know, it costs money to go. But we can't go If every penny we've got is going to pay the mortgage, it's going to pay the bills, it's doing this, it's doing that, we've got to have more than enough so that we've settled all our debt, settled all our bills, our electric's paid, the gas is paid, the food's dealt with, and there's surplus, and then we can put that into the gospel. We can give it to someone to go overseas, or we can use it ourselves to go, or we can set up and fund work in the UK here. We can establish churches. We can establish... You know, the gospel needs to go into all the world, but we've got to be materially prosperous to do that. So this empowerment to prosper, yes, it includes total life prosperity, spiritually, physically, materially. But have you ever thought it includes prosperous in our emotions and in our relations with one another? You know, God wants to prosper us. And there's what Jabez is, the heart of his prayer is, God, I want you to totally transform my life. Bless me indeed. You know, impart to me your unlimited goodness and your favor. I don't want to be a pain to anybody. I don't want to cause sorrow to anybody. So bless me indeed. What a prayer. You know, next time we pray that to God, God bless me. Let's understand what we are actually asking God to do for us. God, just empower me with your blessing. Empower me with your prosperity. Empower me with your unlimited goodness. Empower me with your divine favor. Empower me with your power. Bless me indeed. When we are living the blessed life, we will not be a pain to anybody. We will not cause sorrow to anybody. The next part of his prayer, he goes on, he says, yes, oh, that you would bless me indeed. He says, and enlarge my territory. Whenever you look in the scriptures, whenever it talks about enlarging territory, whenever it talks about, it mentions this word, it's talking about boundaries. It's talking about increasing the borders. And here, Jabez prays, I want you to enlarge my territory, enlarge my borders, enlarge my boundaries. Now this could be physical. This could be, we could be talking about, we want to increase in the land. It was for the case of Joshua. You know, he was told to go in and take the land, the Canaan's land, to go in and capture it. Go in, and he told him to move through the land. Enlarge his territory. But we could look at it like this. Well, let's just go, before we move on to that, let's just go to Genesis, shall we? Chapter 13. And there's a... there's an account here in Genesis 13 about Abraham. Now you need to understand the background to what we're going to read here. Abraham has come into this land that we know of as the land of Canaan. He's with his nephew Lot, and when these Abraham's family that were with him, and his servants and his herdsmen, they were growing large. Lot's family was doing the same. They were growing. And it got to the point where they were, I think putting it bluntly, were getting on each other's nerves. You know, there was a problem between, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the Abram, I think he is in this case, not Abraham, Abram, and between the herdsmen of Lot. And so they came to the decision, okay, Abram said to Lot, he said, look, he said, you just go wherever you want. You pick the land you want to go to. He says, if you go that way, he says, I'm going to go that way. If you go this way, I'll go that way. He says, but he says, you pick. And Lot looked up, he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and he saw the beautiful plains, and he saw how beautiful it was in part of the land, and he chose to go down there. And that actually was the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he went to. But it says in verse 10 of Genesis 30, it says that that was like the garden of the Lord. It was a beautiful land that Lot chose. And so he departed, he left. And then if we just read in verse 14 here, I just want to read a few verses. Is the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Physically, there was nothing in the land that was attractive. Lot had chosen the best parts of the land. He'd chosen the green areas. But God said to him, look, lift your eyes and look from where you are. Look north, look south, look east, look west. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Then listen to what he says. He says, arise, walk in the land, through its length and its width, for I give it to you. So Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar to there to the Lord. You know, God said to him, look, he says, you've got to increase your territory. He says, don't forget what Lot's taken, forget that. Look, just lift your eyes and look. He says, look north, look south, look east, look west. He says, every bit of land you can see, that's yours. He says, now increase your territory. Enlarge your territory. Move, go and walk through the land. And that's how he had to take it. He had to go and walk through the land. He had to occupy more land. Joshua had to do the same. Quite a few times in the scriptures it talks about moving the boundaries or increasing the borders, moving the landmarks that set down territory chain, where the borders of the tribes were. But we could look at it like this, that we should have a greater vision, greater expectation. God, increase our capacity to believe you. Increase our capacity to trust you. Know that we could believe you for more in this year. Let's ask God to enlarge our territory. Give us a greater vision. Greater expectation. Now what are you expecting God for? You know, I don't know whether you did this at the beginning of the year. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I haven't done this year, but you know, very often I might set myself on the first or the last day of the year or something, or the first day at that time, set myself a few targets and a few goals. Now this is my expectation for the year. This is what I hope to achieve this year. Now they're not outrageous, but they're achievable. But can we ask God to increase that capacity? Increase our vision. Increase our expectation. Can we believe for more? Can we believe God to enlarge us? Can we believe God for opportunities for ministry? Can we believe God for those divine appointments that he sets up? Can we believe God that we might be a blessing to other people this year? You know, Jabez prayed this way. He says, God, he says, I want you to enlarge my territory that I might not cause pain. enlarge my territory. I don't want to be a cause of pain or sorrow to anybody. So increase my territory, enlarge my territory, enlarge my capacity. Maybe he had on his mind there, perhaps of moving out. Perhaps him being in the place where he was causing pain to some people. He says, God, enlarge my church. I need somewhere to go. I need somewhere to move to. Can we move some boundaries in the spirit world today? Can we pray that prayer? Enlarge my territory. Can I increase my borders? Can I increase my vision? Can I increase my expectation? God will give us those opportunities. God will give us those appointments. God will enable us to be a blessing to others. Then he goes on, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me. Whenever we read that statement, that your hand would be, it's synonymous with God's power and presence. In our studies on Tuesday night that we've been doing just this last couple of weeks, we've been looking into the life of Nehemiah. And there's a verse in, we did read it on Tuesday night, in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. And there Nehemiah says, when he's relaying what had happened, he says, it's according to the good hand of my God upon me. You know, the way God's blessed me, it's his hand that's been upon me. Ezra says the same thing in Ezra 7:9. Moses, when he's talking to the people of God as they had come out of Egypt, and he's recounting what had happened to them, he says this in Deuteronomy 6:21. He says, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You know, his hand, symbolic of his power and his presence. Other scriptures talk about, you know, the outstretched arm of God, his mighty arm, his powerful hand. We see in the life of Joseph, in the life of Joseph, it says that God was with him. The Lord was with him. Everything he did prospered because God was with him. You know, that your hand would be with me. It shows a dependence upon God. You know, if we depend upon ourselves, we will cause pain. And Jabez knew that. If it was anything to do with him, it would be painful. It would be sorrowful. But he's asking God here. He said, God, he says, I want your hand to be with me. He said, I want your power and your presence upon my life. I want my dependence to be totally upon you. Of course, today we would say it's the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us. God's anointing. That God would lead us. God would guide us. You know, whenever God's people needed to move, they depended upon God. They followed the cloud. They followed the fire. You know, when God said move, they moved. When God said stay, they stayed. They were directed by his hand. And here he's asking God, saying that your hand would be with me. Lest I cause pain. Then finally, he prays, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. Do you know what we should be doing as the people of God? We should be avoiding temptation rather than trying to overcome it. Yes, God's given us the ability that when we're tempted to overcome, He's given us His Spirit. We have His life, we have His name, we have His blood. We can overcome the enemy, but it's better to avoid it altogether. If you know the place you're at or what you're doing is dangerous ground, then keep away from it. You know, it's better to stay on the banks of the shore than step out onto the ice when there's a notice saying danger. You know, if they put the signs up and say, this is dangerous, don't step on the ice, it's likely to break, you're likely to drown, and you go ahead and do it anyway. You can't blame anybody if you fall through. You know, very often we put ourselves in places where we perhaps didn't ought to be, but I put myself in places where I didn't ought to be. Because it's an opportunity for temptation. You know, we should live our lives trying to avoid it. You know, steering clear of sin, steering clear of those things that will pull us down and drag us under. It's better to avoid it than to ask forgiveness for it. We have perhaps I shouldn't say this, because it's being recorded, you never know who's going to listen. But we have a little in-house joke at Brookade, because of some of the people there. We've said for years, sometimes it's better just to do it and ask forgiveness. If we were trying to set up, so buy something or do that, we'd say, well, let's just go ahead and do it and ask forgiveness later. But because very often it gets vetoed and says, or it takes months for the trustees to decide what they're going to do. Sometimes it's just better to go ahead and do it anyway. But that's not the way we should be. You know, we should avoid getting ourselves into the place where we are prone to temptation. You know, the devil only opposes those who are a threat. And the more God uses us, you know, the more, if we're praying this prayer, bless me indeed, empower me to prosper, you know, that I might be a blessing. I want your goodness, your favor, your power, you know, your empowerment upon my life. We're going to be a target for the enemy. If we're praying that we want God to enlarge our territory, that we want to move in the things of God, we want to increase our boundaries, increase our borders, increase our expectations for the year, that we're asking God for a greater vision from Him, for opportunities to be a blessing, we're going to be a target for the enemy. If we're asking God to be with us, to lead us, to guide us, that we want His presence and His power with us, we're going to be a target for the enemy. You know, the devil only opposes those who are a threat. The more God uses us, the more the devil will attack us. But why is he praying to keep me from evil? Because he knows that if he sins, he's going to cause pain. That I may not cause pain. Yes, sin causes pain to yourself, to others. It causes pain to your testimony. So keep me from evil. You know, this prayer says God granted him what he requested. God granted his... It's not an outrageous prayer. It's not something that's out of God's will. You know, and if we're going to start praying, bless me, you know, we've got to start expecting God to answer his prayers, our prayers. God to start honouring his word. You know, just before Christmas, I spoke on open doors and times of opportunity. I believe that it's something we're going to see a lot of this year. We're going to see opportunities present themselves, opportunities that we've never, ever dreamt of. We're going to see things come across our path. You know, this is a time to enlarge our territory, to ask for God's blessing upon us. Not so that we can be blessed, but so that we can be a blessing. Yes, I know God needs to bless us first. We can't be a blessing to somebody else until we're blessed ourselves. Because it's like the teacup that gets filled up. Now, I know Brother Anthony shared on it a few months ago. You know, but if you keep filling the cup, it soon gets to the top and it overflows. You know, that's where we should be. We should be overflowing to one another, overflowing to a needy world. But it starts with us being blessed. So we pray, Lord, bless us. Bless me. But then that blessing progresses from there to enlarging our territory, enlarging our sphere of ministry, enlarging our capacity to be a blessing to other people, because it overflows. So this year, as we march forward, we're already 2-3 weeks into the year. This is the third Sunday. Let's make it our objective. Let's be like Jabez. We don't want to be a pain to anybody. We don't want to cause sorrow to anybody. We don't want to be a burden to anybody. But yes, we want God to bless us, not so that we can say we're blessed, but so that we can be a blessing. Let's enlarge our territory, and you'll see that. That will come up time and again over the next few weeks, I'm sure. Enlarge our territory. Let's start expecting God to do greater things. You know, if we're witnessing, let's start expecting God to give us more and more people. Let's start expecting God to increase in every area. Have an increase of invitations, an increase of souls, an increase of those divine appointments that he sets up, an increase in ministry, an increase in the things that we can believe God for. I was going to say, if you're witnessing and you perhaps set a target to minister to one person, let's say you set a target to increase one person every month. Why not increase that and say, well, let's go for 2 people every month? Now, don't be outrageous. Let's not say, well, I'm going to go for 100 a month. It's big. And if God gave it to us, then we could praise God. But let's gradually build up the capacity to expect God more. Because then next year, if God wills and God tarries, we can say, well, we did 2 a month. Let's go for 4. Let's keep increasing. And keep enlarging our territory, knowing that God is with us. And let's protect our testimony by staying away from evil. Protect our ministry, protect our witness, protect our lives. Let's pray the prayer of Jabez. You know, look in it. Don't take it home and look at it at home. Read it through. Simple little prayer. And here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. You know, the Bible says that Jabez was more honourable than his brothers in verse 9. Now, I don't know anything about his brothers. But he chose to change. Rather than being one who caused pain, he asked God to change him, make him a blessing. This is one man that you can rightly identify as a pain in the neck. Because that's what he was. But he asked God, he says, God, he says, change me, bless me. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And enlarge my territory. That your hand would be with me. That you would keep me from evil. That I may not cause pain. Amen.